Thank you, worship team and tech team. Thank you, everybody who's involved, that we can worship together every Sunday morning. I'm so proud of y'all, the ones that set their alarm correctly this morning. Well done. Well done. Good in technology. Servant. Hallelujah. Some of y'all, it's digital for you, so it already worked. Some of you still old school, and you had to roll it back. Hey, it's going to be nice, though. It's only going to be dark till like 6:30, 6:45. That's going to be amazing. Amen. Man, last week was powerful. We kicked off, who am I? I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Hi. Hey, what's up? How you guys doing? It's good to see you. What's up, back row? Yeah. What's up, front row? What up? What's up, side rows? Hey. And everybody else, what's up? Good to see you. What's up online? Yeah, it's quiet. Okay. Because we can't hear you. You should be here. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what's really cool? We actually have people watching all over the world. I don't remember how many countries. Josh, you remember how many countries it was? 15 countries are watching. Isn't that incredible? And all the Latino countries are like, that's a loco gringo. Yeah. If you could tell, who did I grow up around? That's lots of great Latino friends growing up. Hey, gloria a Dios, Espíritu Santo fuego. Everybody's like, what? Okay, anyway, moving on. I said, glory to God, Holy Spirit, fire. Amen. Wonderful. Man, last week was powerful. We kicked off a new ministry at First Open Bible, Celebrate Recovery. Amen. It's wonderful, powerful. There's a bunch of people. It was a sign up at first just for leadership. And so we actually have more than we can handle. So some of y'all, we're going to call you, and I'm sorry, but we're probably going to say, hey, can you hold off for a moment? We have too many, but we want you in the next round, and or when we go through it about a year from now, we want you to walk through it and see if leadership is for you. But man, that was awesome. We only needed 12 guys, 12 girls, and so we got way more than that, praise God, that are interested in seeing what God is going to do through freedom. Great freedom in Jesus. And it's not just a moment with God. It's not just a moment of freedom with God. That's where it starts. It starts with a moment. But there's discipleship where we walk together each and every day, hand in hand. And that's what's so amazing about Celebrate Recovery, because it is an incredible program that you walk through. It's discipleship to get free from the things that you're walking through. And it's not just for alcohol. It's not just for drugs. It's for every hang up, hurt, or habit. Praise God. Amen. There's so many. All of us are walking through something. We're all dealing with something. And you're like, I'm not dealing with anything. Well, number one, you're dealing with pride. So you are. Hallelujah. Can't wait to see you at Celebrate Recovery. Okay? You'll be this one. I don't know why I'm here. And that's why you're here. Hallelujah. Praise God. But this month, our series is titled Available. For a generation searching desperately for an authentic experience, there's good news. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence to empower and to transform is freely available. Amen? You know, I've said this often. The gift of salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. If you think it's just about coming to the knowledge of Jesus and that's it, saying a prayer, well, then you don't understand what it is to follow Jesus. It starts with that. It's a free gift, but it will literally cost you the rest of your life, and that's a good thing. Because you've been messing up your life up until this point. It's about time to give it to somebody else who knows what they're doing with it. Yeah, that's right. Anybody bad with finances? Raise your hand. I'm just playing. Okay, somebody did. Oh, Christopher, that's me. Okay. No. It's good to hand it over sometimes and say, hey, teach me. You've been there, you've done that, and you know what's going on. And that's what we have to do with, we have to do with Jesus. We say, here's my life. You're better than me at this. Holy Spirit, here's my life. I give it to you. Thank you for your free gift of salvation. Thank you for the free gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. But here's the rest of my life. See, that's what it's like to follow Jesus. It's a life of servanthood. If you're not, if you don't have a mindset of a servant and you don't have actions in a servant way in your life, then you don't understand what it's like to be a Christian. And actually, you can maybe say, Lord, hallelujah. Do you hear that? The angels around here singing, hey, he's about to say something powerful. Nope, he's not. It's over. that was fun. But we got to give our life to Jesus. If you're not having a servant mind and a servant heart and a servant attitude, then you're probably not being a Christian. You probably don't understand Christianity. I'm going to get there. I'm still in the intro, but I just feel like I got to say this. Too many entitled spirits blocking a servant heart. It's the worst in the church. Well, Jesus died, and I deserve all things. You deserve nothing. That's what it's called for mercy and grace. You deserve nothing, and you receive all things. You should be grateful. Quit being so prideful. There's so much murmuring in the church house all over the world. And it doesn't please God's heart. And you will not receive a blessing in your life if you just keep saying, oh man, look at what pastor did. Look what the leadership did. Oh, look what God is doing. And I don't agree with it. I would have done it different. You know how many people think they're better coaches on their couch watching the game? You don't even serve and you have an attitude that you understand what's going on. You have no clue. Right? I mean, I do it on the couch too. It's like, coach, what are you doing? Call a timeout. That's bad time management. And if I was there, he'd be just like, that's why you're there and I'm here. Come on now. Church, there God's going to shake some things up. Now, you don't go in blind and just say, hey, you know, I'm just going to believe everything. But if it's God, why aren't you getting behind it? If it's God, why aren't you getting behind it? What? The attitude has got to go. There's an attitude. I just feel it. It's all over. I have a lot of pastor friends too, and they're feeling it as well. And a lot of times it's in their leadership, and it's also within the church house. And because we've been growing up, right? In America, we have some amazing things and we have some terrible things. Number one, you don't receive a miracle because you don't need a miracle because you can just go to the doctor. You're never relying on God because in 5 minutes you can go to 10 different places and get food in 5 minutes. You don't rely on God to pay your bills because you just keep racking up that credit card debt because, well, you're in America and everything's available to you. And that's a bad thing. It can be a very bad thing. It's one of our pillars sometimes we put above God. We don't pray before we run to the medicine cabinet. We don't pray over our finances until we go get a loan or beg somebody for money. We're desperate for a job, and instead of getting on our knees and saying, God, provide, we just run to the next place or put out, you know, 50 different applications and saying, God, why don't you lead me? Tell me what you want me to apply for. That's one thing that's going on right now, that there's so many things available to us that it damages us, and we don't have a reliance on the Holy Spirit. We don't have a reliance on the Father and the Son. Another thing is this. We always think we know better. Huh, come on. We always think that we know better. And we like to give our opinion, and we like to tell other people about our opinion. Well, that's not the way I would do it. The Bible says that your tongue is going to either build up or tear down. It's going to give life or it's going to destroy. And I just want you to know right now, those that are saying those things behind closed doors, you're killing what the Spirit is doing. If you want to have a conversation, then have a conversation with somebody who's in charge. Quit talking to other people that have no business being talked to. You know what that's called? That's actually called gossip. And that's one of the major sins that God lists, that people like that. It's the same spot where you see sexual immorality, division, dissension, gossip, sexual sins. These are things that God lists. And he says, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you know why? You have a heart issue. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants your heart. It says, everything flows out of the heart. Jeremiah reminds us how wicked our heart is. There is nothing more wicked in this world. And that's when the world says, hey, follow your heart. No, that's the worst thing to do. Follow your heart and you'll find yourself in a ditch somewhere bound for hell. That's what's going to happen. Follow God's heart, transform your heart, and you'll find yourself on a path of righteousness. I don't know why I'm going here. I feel like this. There's so much stuff available to us that we just keep giving our opinion. We keep giving our thoughts, and everything's available to us, and it is absolutely destructive. We need to lean on the Holy Spirit and what's available to us through Him. That will transform not only our minds, our hearts, but the way that we talk, the way that we walk, and the way that we're looking and doing. Listen, so many people have so many opinions about things going on. When's the last time you led one person to Christ? Look at the fruit. Look at all their fruit. There's nothing going on. So look at your fruit. The Bible teaches us that we'll be known by our fruit. What's your fruit look like? All these trees with no fruit on them, pointing at the trees with other fruit on them, saying they don't know how to grow fruit. You don't even have any fruit. Come on now. God's shaking the tree. He's shaking our life. He's saying no more. No more. Shut your mouth. Get on your knees. Find my heart. Get up. Go. There's so much more available to you. Hallelujah. So much more available to you. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good. Still in the intro. That's awesome. What are we going to do this month? Well, church, there's a generation searching desperately for an authentic experience. And there's good news. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence to empower and to transform is freely available. See, this month we're going to be unpacking Scripture and understanding how both Word and Spirit actually work together to draw people into a vibrant and intimate relationship with our God. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence to empower and transform is freely available. This month is going to be incredible each and every week. If you have your Bible app, go ahead and open it up. It's a YouVersion app. If you go to that, click on the bottom right, click on more. Go to events, about 5, 6, 7 down, depending on what it looks like on your app. And then you click on First Open Bible Church, and that is today's notes. And you can click save if you'd like, and you can save them for later. But I just want to get right into it this morning. As a follower of Jesus, have you ever thought this? This life I'm living, the life Jesus came and died for, is pretty underwhelming. There has to be more to my salvation than what I'm living and what I'm experiencing right now. There has to be more. In my Christian life, am I experiencing everything the resurrection has made possible for me through me? I read the word and I just don't know. There has to be more. Church, this morning I tell you this, there is. The Holy Spirit is available if you are available. Let me explain. Sadly, there's a large gap between biblical promise and the actual Christian life for many followers of Jesus. People today attend churches and they try to model their morality on the teachings and the commands that Jesus gave. That's a good thing. And they continue to build their life on the spiritual foundation of the love of our Father who is in heaven. While they are completely unaware of how much of the supernatural they miss out on every single day. How much they miss out on who the Holy Spirit is and why he has come. The greatest evangelist to ever live, his name is Billy Graham. He's one of my heroes. He once said this. My son just did a report on him. This is what he said, quote, "Everywhere I go, I find that God's people lack something." He's traveled all the world. "They are hungry for something. Their Christian experience is not all they had expected, and they often have reoccurring defeat in their lives. Christians today are hungry for supernatural spiritual fulfillment. The desperate need of our nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus need to be filled with the Holy Spirit," end quote. People all over the globe long for the Holy Spirit. They're in need of the Holy Spirit, but they are missing the Holy Spirit. But who is the Holy Spirit and why has he come? I personally now love to read the written word of God. I didn't always. It was really hard to understand. By the way, if you're a new Christian and you're trying to learn the Word of God, I do not suggest King James Version. Just so you know, Jesus did not speak in King James. He also didn't speak in English. But the point of reading the Bible is to understand the Bible. So if you need to get a Bible that you can understand and make sure it's biblically based and its roots are from the Hebrew and the Greek and it's coming with a great translation, I suggest getting a good translation, and I really love Spirit-filled Bibles that are study Bibles. What does that mean? On the bottom, they have more depth of what actually is going on. There's context to what is being said, and it goes a little bit deeper than what you read here, and it's very, very helpful. I remember I got a Bible when I was in my teenage years that I was finally like, wow, I actually understand what I'm reading. It's in language I understand. And I was thankful for it. So I like to read the Bible now, and I started reading the Bible for myself around my late teenage years or into my early 20s. Now, Bible college was intense, and it was difficult at times because of my lack of biblical knowledge and my lack of biblical doctrine. But you know what was even harder for me? My everyday life. Every day as a follower of Jesus was hard for me because I longed for more. I read incredible stories on paper, what God did and what he wants to do and what he's about to do in the future. I kept saying to myself, man, I really want that kind of stuff right now. I need that now. I want to experience that right now. What I'm reading, I want to know about this. But how could I do that? How can I rip the pages off the binding and insert them into my own life? How can I experience God's amazingness in the here and now? So I'm reading this book, and it's titled The Familiar Stranger from Tyler Staton. And he says this, quote, "Spiritual health is closing the gap between biblical rumor and actual life as narrowly as possible. Spiritual maturity is narrowing the gap between kingdom promise and the daily grind," end quote. Church, I want more than just biblical knowledge. I've done a lot of school. Six years going to Bible college. People are like, "You want to get your doctorate, Pastor?" I was like, "No. No. Why not?" "I don't want to go back to school." I went all the way through high school, and then I went to college, and I was like, "Hey, you know what? I should go again." What? Unless God says and brings an angel, I'm probably not going to do that. I've done a lot of research and I have a lot of biblical knowledge, but you know what? I also want biblical experience. Man, too many churches is talking about it and they never even experience it. People fill in pulpits preaching the word of God and they don't even believe what they're saying. Come on now. Ooh, Holy Ghost, wreck me right now, huh? They want it. They need it. Here's what spiritual health means. The gap between the stories on the pages and then the stories in my life, they narrow and narrow, right? Here's the thing, is they don't come together. The Bible stays here and I get closer to it. But that gap, it gets smaller each and every day. And I want to get closer to its truths. No joke, one time I prayed for this lady at work when I was working in the secular. And this job I worked for, not Christian at all. So we waited till break. She was an older lady. She was a temp person. She was just there for a temp job and hoping to get another job. But she ended up getting fired later because she was really slow. That's beside the point. Anyway, I know, right? I just want to build it down so I can build it up right here. So it feels better. I don't know. But it's reality. But I knew that there was an opportunity with this lady because she was not guaranteed a job. Older lady, COPD, back problems, hip problems, leg problems. She was a bigger lady. And the reason why she was bigger is because she could never go for walks. She could never do anything. She had to have a special desk where she would stand up half the day and sit half the day and stand up. She'd have to do that because of the pain, so much pain. And I said, the Holy Spirit just unctioned me and said, you got to pray for her. I'm like, sure, why not? We wait till break time, and I say, hey, can't remember her name now. This was 15 years ago, maybe. And I said, hey, can I pray for you? Yeah, sure. So then we go into the hallway, kind of where the steps were, and it was real quiet in there. And I just laid my hands on her because the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I just prayed a simple prayer of faith. And I said, Jesus, by the stripes of you that you bore, heal her right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And I get done, and I'm like, yes, I did the assignment. She goes, did you feel that? No. She goes, I felt like this hand was inside of me. And then my hip kind of popped, and I had this pain. And all of a sudden, look at this, I can move around. And no joke, I went like this. Really? Man of faith, hallelujah. Right. Really? I was like, oh, I turned around. I was like, come on, man. What are you doing here? She goes, yes, yes, I feel better. I feel a little bit better. And I'm like, praise God. Well, then she gets fired. Remember that part? Yeah, y'all laughed and said, Pastor, you're a terrible storyteller. Okay. But she gets fired. But I gave her my name because I said, if you ever need prayer, you call me. I'll pray for you. She calls me and I'm at work. She's not because she's fired. Okay. I just keep, this is great. Yeah. If you're out there, I pray that you're either retired or employed. Hallelujah. God is good. He is a provider. You just got to work faster. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. Come back to me. Come back. No, you come back to us, Pastor. Okay. So she calls me. I'm at work. Can't answer. See it. Send it to voicemail. I get off work, I listen to it, and she says, Harris, you'll never guess. I was like, no, right? You'll never guess what just happened. I went to the doctor, and not only am I starting to feel better in my hips and back, but I'm able to go for walks and able to do things so I can finally lose some weight. But I went to the doctor, and I got checked out with my COPD, and the doctor himself said it's a miracle my COPD that doesn't ever get better but worse is getting better. Hallelujah. I don't want to just read the Bible. I want to live it. Even when I'm blown away by it, by myself, with my own faith. Hallelujah. Do you feel that? I'm feeling better. You are? Praise God. Wow. I know Jesus was like, look at that. Gabriel, this guy, right? He's like, you created him. Okay. Moving on. It's good. No, it's a good thing. It's fun. You know God's cool, man. You know he's funny. You know he's amazing. All the great things in our world, everything that is good, that is what God is, right? The personalities that we have all over the world, like you are made on purpose for a purpose, right? And it's not by accident that you are the way you are. And you're to be in the likeness of Christ. You're to be in the likeness of our God and the personality traits that honor him. That is who he is. That is what he's like. Hallelujah. It ain't going to be boring up there in heaven. I think we'll sit around and Jesus will tell us all kinds of funny stories about his disciples. I can't wait. Things that we don't even read about. Do you know what Peter did? I was like, no, I can't wait to hear. What did Peter do? Peter's my favorite. He reminds me of me. He's like, yeah, he pulled a Harris when he prayed for somebody that got healed. He's like, really? Right? I'm just playing. Okay, moving on. But man, I don't want to just read the Bible. I want to live the Bible. Spiritual health is when the gap between the stories of our pages start looking more like the stories and the pages in the Word of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is God's, he's his agent for his presence here on earth. He is God and there is none like him. If you want to not just read the stories of the Bible, but instead live one, then church, you got to be available. If you walk with the Holy Spirit each day, your burdens can be light. Life will be unpredictable. The adventures will be incredible, and God's presence will be real and powerful every day that he leads you. Who in here loves Jesus? Raise your hand in the air like you care. Hey, amen. Even Sleepy McSleeperson's over here. That's really bad wearing a pink shirt sleeping. It's like you're so easy to see. Wear black next week, brother. Okay. Blend into the chair. Okay. Hallelujah. Who loves Jesus? Who in here believes what Jesus said is truth and it is life? Okay, good. Well, Jesus said something that's really hard to understand, but it's eternally correct. You ready for it? John 16:7 says this, but in fact, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Jesus said to his followers, I'm going away and that's going to be better. Say what? The disciples must have thought to themselves, there's nothing better than God's Son here with us in the flesh. We have prayed for the Messiah for hundreds of years. Here he is. Now he's leaving. How is this better that he goes? John chapter 14 through 18. You can read it this week if you'd like, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. It records a real long conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And in that conversation, Jesus taught them about the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught them and told them and showed them he's praying for all believers now and the ones to come. And then finally, his arrest in the garden. And Jesus tells them, listen, my guys, my days with you are coming to an end. But I've got great news. I'm sending my spirit to be with you. And that's going to be so much better. Church, we have nothing without Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection. We need the Savior of the world to be reconciled back to the Father in heaven. Here in this moment with Jesus and his disciples, Jesus understood that he was about to fulfill his first purpose and why he came. His first assignment was about to be fulfilled on the cross. But according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, is an improvement to the direct face-to-face interactions with God in the flesh. You don't believe me? It's right there in your word in red. Jesus said it. It's better that I go because I'm sending another to be with you. Here's the most interesting part of this entire truth. What Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit, most Christians today, they don't buy it. It's better that Jesus goes You know what? The disciples didn't buy it either until Pentecost. Think about it real quick. How many of us in this room or watching online would trade all of our current experiences with the Holy Spirit for just one face-to-face conversation with Jesus in the flesh? Probably all of us. For 2,000 years across the globe, across denominational lines, across doctrinal practices, the very promise that Jesus was excited to tell his disciples about, the better plan that was to come, we would all trade that plan if we could. Uh-oh. I might be shaking up some doctrine right now. I don't know. See, most of us would trade this incredible promise from Jesus for just one face-to-face conversation with Jesus. Jesus says it's better, and we say back to him, I don't buy it. Oh, Abba, how many times will we tell you we know better? Father, you got to forgive our rebellion. See, maybe that's why God keeps telling us in his word to stop walking in the flesh, but instead walk in the spirit. Maybe that's why he says, quit relying on what we see and instead rely on what we cannot see. Only God knows the true condition of our unbelieving and suspicious hearts. The Bible presents our God as a triune God. Say it with me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all generally understand the Father. He's God in heaven, and he's parenting all of us as we are adopted into the family of God as his sons and daughters through Christ Jesus, his son. Praise God. We all generally understand the Son as well. Jesus, his son, came and lived among his created people, sharing their human experiences to redeem all mankind through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He became one of us to save all of us. But the Holy Spirit? Come on now, church. Well, to most, he's like this unspoken urban legend. He's harder to find than Bigfoot himself. He's some sort of mystical force like we see on Star Wars. Come on now. Too many modern believers they believe these things. The Holy Spirit, well, he's not talked about. The Holy Spirit, he's not honored. He's not even sought after. Even though Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be better than for him to stay in the flesh. Now, there's a recent study. 2/3 of American Christians believe the Holy Spirit is a force to be wielded. Ooh, Pentecostals are really bad at this. Yes, you are. Yes, we are. Sorry. And I'm back. Hallelujah. That was the flesh. My bad. Hey. Okay. But it's true. By the authority in me, I'm going to tell God what to do in this situation. Holy Spirit, you do this. And he's like, please. I'm over here working. You don't even know what you're doing. You're lost. You didn't even follow me. I didn't like that path. Oh, come on now. Two-thirds of Americans believe that the Holy Spirit's a force to be wielded and not a person to know or be known by. No wonder we have the society we have. We think we can tell God what to do. There's almost no conviction of sin from the Holy Spirit or anointing to do God's will in the face of opposition or spiritual eyes or ears to hear and to do the will of the Father. Believers today are powerless because we tell Jesus, I don't buy it. I'm not open to your promise and I'm not available to experience it either. On resurrection evening, 2,000 years ago, Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said this in John 20, 21 and 22. He says, again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus at this moment commissioned his followers with the very presence and the power that they had seen in him. This was not a comforting theory or a clever metaphor as pulpits are preaching about. No, church, this was an impartation from Jesus for a spirit-filled life. Just as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he now commissions his disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then about 50 days later on Pentecost, 120 of Jesus' followers, the only ones that remained that really wanted the promise from on high, the power from on high, they were waiting and the Holy Spirit filled the room and God changed history forever. That was the moment the church was born. That was the moment the church was filled. The rest of the New Testament essentially is a bunch of ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit, carrying out the ministry of Jesus forward through the power of the Holy Spirit. As a follower of Christ, we are called to do what Christ did, and we're called to do it with the same power he had. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Read it. I think you're going to read the New Testament and be like, oh, look at that. Jesus went into the wilderness, and what was he led by? He was led by the Holy Spirit. Look at that. Huh, interesting. Some of y'all walking through a situation right now, and you think it's the devil, but it's not. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit leading you into that. Why? Because he's got to purify something in you. He's building up your faith by making you go through something hard so you will stop relying on other things. And you'll start relying on him like you should have done the first time when he asked you and you said, nah, I don't buy it. Come on. Check this out. On the night that Jesus was arrested, he said this in John 14:12. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Church, Jesus had to go. He had to be beaten. He had to go to the cross. He had to take the keys of hell back, and he had to be resurrected to show he has the power to defeat death. And because he did, he sent another. He sent someone better. God sent his omnipresence. He sent the very presence of himself, the presence of himself. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, in us, and upon us. He sent the person of the Holy Spirit. It's true. Church, it's better now because all of Christ's followers will have the power and the presence to do what he did all over the world until he comes back to his church. Think about it. Let's just think practical for a moment. Imagine Jesus is still alive. He's 2,033 years old. Hallelujah. I don't know how old he'd be exactly, but he's really old. To know and to hear and to feel and to experience his presence, we'd all have to fly to Jerusalem and wait in line longer than the hug line, and we'd all have to wait in that line to just have a moment with him. But it's better that he went to heaven, because when he went to heaven, he sent his Spirit and he fills every person, every temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. Not only are we full of his Spirit when we come to know Jesus, he makes us alive and we're filled with his Spirit, but also his Spirit can be upon us and he can work through us because of his Spirit, just like Jesus did. Are we going to do greater things than Jesus? There's nobody that's better than Jesus, but all of us together, we can do greater works in number, in intensity, right? If we all went out today and we all preached and did exactly what the Holy Spirit set us to do, I'm pretty sure Cedar Rapids would come to know Christ or at least have an opportunity to deny him within 1 month. That's pretty incredible. Jesus said, it's better that I go because I'm sending another. Church is better now because all of Christ's followers will have the same power and the presence to do what he did all over the world until he comes back for his bride. Now, church, one day I can't wait to run into the arms of my Savior. When I step into glory, when I get to heaven, the first person I'm going to look for and I'm going to run to is Jesus. That moment in heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. And I'm going to look him in the eyes and say, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for loving me before I loved you. Thank you. But until that moment, church, Jesus says there's something better in the here and now. He told us it's better for us that he goes so he can send another. But who is us? Who is the Holy Spirit for? God's Spirit is for whoever. The power of God has been shared with whoever will receive him. He is for whoever will say to Jesus, Jesus, I do buy it. I want your promise. I want what you had to do what you did. It's better. Holy Spirit, please fill me now. God is looking for those who are available. Those who want the promise from Jesus. Those who want God's Spirit to fill them. Those who say, Holy Spirit, if you're available, I'm available. Fill me now. Teach me now. Lead me now. Use me now. I want to know your presence, God. I want to not just read the word, I want to live the word. Walk with me. Teach me. Purify me. Set me free. Heal me. Deliver me. God, teach me to be more like your son. I want to do what he did. I want to be like he was. Use me in spite of me. Teach me what needs to go so I can go. Spirit of God, rain down, fire come. It says in God's word, it says in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters, young and old, you're going to prophesy. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You're going to have dreams and visions. Things are going to take place. You're not just going to read the word. You're going to live the word. Jesus said this in Luke 11, 10 through 13. Brent, you can come, please. This is what Luke wrote in 11, 10 through 13. It says this, for everyone who asks receives. See, this is what Jesus said. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now he's talking to us fathers. If you're a father in here, say, that's me. Wow, five of you were listening. Good job. Huh, what? I'm just hungry. Okay. Verse 11. You fathers, dude, it's an hour early. It's not even lunchtime. Chill out. We're flowing right now, okay? Verse 11. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. Father of the year, my goodness. Verse 13. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, listen. Amen. I'm a son of the Most High. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I love Jesus and he loves me, and I'm a son of the King. I'm a son loved by the Father in heaven. No matter what I face, no matter what I've gone through, no matter what relationship I've had, or even whatever father things that are going on, I'm available to know his love, to experience his love, and to live out his love. And because of that, I want the gifts that he gives. And it says in God's word over and over and over again in the New Testament that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available for those who ask him, those who are available, those who want this gift. First, you have to be saved. You can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you give your life over to Christ because you were once dead and now you're alive. And how are you alive? You're alive by the Spirit of the living God making you alive like we were once created in the garden. Breathe life into us, the Spirit. But we gave that up in sin. And the only way to get that the life back and to give all, get our life back is to give Jesus our life and say, I don't want to be that. I want to be this. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And not only that, when I'm here, I want to see heaven on earth. What is loosed in heaven can be loosed on earth. But how's it going to get loose? It's going to get loose through his church filled with the Spirit of God. Church, will you stand with me? God is looking for those who ask him for his gift of his holy presence. Those who will say, here I am, Lord, I'm available. Will you fill me with your Spirit? I'm ready to receive all you have for me. You know what the word available means? It means this: present and ready for immediate use. Woo, is anybody in here like that? Isaiah, please turn the lights off, brother. Thank you, sir. Not off, but you know what I mean. If you got to go, you can go. I just want you to know you're going to miss out. Praise God. See you next week. Available means able to be used, free to do something. Available in the Bible means this: being ready, willing, and responding to God's call. And I wrote this later. I went a little bit deeper. It says, being prepared. I ran out of room. I ran this side. Being prepared to serve by prioritizing God's needs and the needs of others over our needs. Who's somebody who's available? It's somebody who's humble, somebody who is selfless, and someone who is responsive. If that's you today and you say, I want to be filled with the Spirit, I want you to come down here. I just want to lay hands on you. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. Come, come. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. I want him to fill me in a new way. Hallelujah. Come, come, come. Hallelujah. Who says I'm available and I want to be used for God? If that's you today, come. Come. I just want to lay hands on you. I'm just going to anoint you. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job. I have no clue why anyone would be standing not coming up. Are you saying that you do not want to be available to God? Maybe you're uncomfortable coming up. If that's the case, I want you to ask somebody next to you to touch you and anoint you. Okay? I don't know about you. I'm tired of playing church. I want to be the church. I'm tired of reading just the words on pages. I want to live them. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to follow after God. I want to do what he says to do. I want to be filled with his power and his presence. I want to be filled with his love. I want to go to the world, to the ends of the world, and preach the good news. But I can't do that on my own intellect. I got to do that by the Spirit. God, use me in spite of me. I say it every week. This ain't me. This is God in me. Y'all called to do something, go somewhere and say something. But you can't do it without God's Spirit. My goodness, what have I done? I cannot do all this. But this is what I'm going to do. Okay? I want you, if that's you and you say, Holy Spirit, I'm available right now, use me. If that's you, put your hands in the air. International sign of surrender. I am available. But it's also like you're going to receive something. Get something from heaven today. Everywhere you're at. Anybody and everybody right now. I put an anointing. I put some stuff in my hand here. This is the representation of the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. But he's here. He's omnipresent. He's here now and he's honored. Holy Spirit, you are honored in this place. I pray that right now, like fire from heaven, fall upon these people with their hands raised. Fill them to completion right now, to an overflow. Call them to where they're to go and put a word in their mouth. May they go out and do the good deeds of God. May they go out and do things that they cannot do on their own. May they be filled with your power and your presence. God, I pray that your love will pour out upon them right now. May they feel your power right now. In Jesus' name. May the Holy Spirit fill them right now, tippy top of their fingers all the way to the soles of their feet. Just tell God right now, tell him, I'm available, fill me. I'm available, fill me. I choose you. Say something to him right now. Say something to him. If you want him, invite him. Right now. Now. Woo. This is not just another Sunday. This is an experience with heaven. Heaven here on earth. Now I want you to do something. I love teaching about faith, but now we have to be people of faith. Turn to your neighbor right now. Yep, stretch your faith. Look to him. Look to somebody. And say, may I pray for you? And this is what you're going to do. You're going to pray that God is going to fill them right now. Okay? This is not a time to hang out. This is a time. Say, I want you to be filled with God's presence. And I pray that today there's going to be an assignment. And you're going to follow after that assignment. You're going to say something, do something. You're going to go somewhere. Right now, lay hands on them and pray for them. Pray for each other. Fill them, God. Fill them, God. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Even in this prayer, God, may you deliver them from diseases and sicknesses. Even in this prayer, may you deliver them from addictions. Right now, may you deliver them from any brokenness, and may you heal them. May they have a completion of your spirit. Put the broken pieces back together and make it better than ever before. Right now, I pray for a miracle in the house. Unexplainable. In the doctor's books. Unexplainable. To the human mind right now, a miracle that takes place that only God can do. Reverse the thing that cannot be reversed. I pray for cancer cells to be made right now. And instead of spreading, they're going to go down. Oh, and I just pray right now for the healing touch of God. For brokenness. Unforgiveness and bitterness. Oh, God, what you have forgiven us for. May we forgive those who have trespasses against us. Thank you, Jesus. This is a house of prayer. God's house is a house of prayer. Just keep praying for one another. When you're done, feel free to go, but don't talk in here, because this is a holy moment. This is a holy moment that God is doing. If you got to pick up your kids, pick up your kids. If you got to get your kids in here because you got to apologize to them about something, bring them in. Look them in the face and say, Daddy, what's wrong? Mama, what's wrong? Please forgive me. I'm going to do better because I choose Jesus. I'm available to the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Jesus. My son's looking at me, hoping I would apologize to some. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Jesus. I just pray right now for religious demons to go out of the church house and out of people right now. May you shake up the foundation of the things that are not like you. The pillars that we've put up in our life that are not you. The idols that we've put up. Oh, hey. May they crumble down right now. May you be lifted high. I thank you for doctrine, but God, we choose your word first. We choose biblical doctrine coming from the Bible. Now, God, I know we won't get it all right, but I pray for discernment. Let us read your word and get discernment. Let us get truth. Woo. Reconciliation. I pray for racial reconciliation, generational reconciliation, family reconciliation in the house, in your life. What's been spoken to you, what's been done to you is done. It's under the blood. You're healed. May the Holy Spirit convict our hearts right now of sin. Holy Spirit, speak to us about the sin that is in our life. And God, may we be honest enough to say, we can't do it on our own. We need you. We need you. I need your strength, God. I need your presence. I need your power. I cannot break this on my own. I'm a prideful person. Let me be honest and real and genuine. God, you're looking for a heart that is after yours. May I have that kind of heart. A heart that comes after you. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. God, I pray that when I turn on worship music, that angels show up and sing with me. And may they even drown out my bad singing, God. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you show up in our car, in our job, with our family, in my quiet time, in my loud time. Woo, voice of God. We're listening. I pray for the noise to not only be quiet, but to be canceled. The noise of the world be canceled. Cancel. God, don't make it quiet. I don't want to turn it down to one. I want to mute it. I want to hear your voice. What are you saying? Where should I go? What should I do? And now I just pray this last prayer before we wrap up some of our prayers. You can continue. Brent will sing here in a moment, but I want to pray for this. It's the last thing I feel like God says to pray for. I pray the boldness of a lion be upon you. In the face of danger, in the face of persecution, in the face of judgment, in the face of maybe your family disowning you, in the face of whatever it looks like, I pray for boldness like a lion to fall upon you, to speak the truth, boldness to do what you cannot do on your own. He will stiffen your spine in the midst of a storm and you will not be moved. He will open your mouth to speak truth in love. And you won't care who it offends because you're there to offend the flesh, to heal the person, to deliver them through your truth. Give us the boldness to say what we cannot say on our own. Give us that boldness. We call forth the boldness of the believers of Cedar Rapids and the surrounding area. We call for the boldness to come forth and to love people where they're at, to love them enough to speak the truth. Because we want Cedar Rapids not only to be a place for God, but I pray that the businesses that are ungodly turn to God. And I pray that it starts, every forest fire starts with a match. And may there be a match in the house of God today. A match that's lit on fire to go to start other fires. So we start seeing a fire within those places that are evil, that are corrupt, and that are lifting the things of evil up and saying we celebrate that. But may there be a turnaround. In Cedar Rapids, I pray that this be a hub of your presence. Thank you, Jesus. We can't do it without your boldness. Ooh, there's somebody in here who's going to speak up in the next couple months and you're going to get fired. You're going to get fired for your boldness. And as long as you follow Jesus and you don't get prideful and think that you're going to do what you're going to do on your own, God is going to provide a better job for you. But you're going to have to make a stand. You're going to have to say, no, I will not do that. I will not say that. I love you, but I cannot do that. It goes beyond my convictions, and my convictions are beyond my paycheck. My convictions are from heaven. And if I don't get provided for here, I know God will provide somewhere else. So I want to speak truth because I love you and I cannot do this anymore. Those who have been cheating at work, you've been cheating your hours at work. You've been cheating somehow at work. You've been cheating the system. You've been not honest about things. May the Holy Spirit right now convict you. And may you, like Zacchaeus, give back what you have stolen from others, even 3, 4, 5-fold. I'm telling you, if you do that, God will provide. He will do something amazing in your life. If you honor him, he will honor you. And if you go before man, it says in God's word, if you profess me before man, I'll profess you before my Father in heaven. It won't be in vain. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, worthy. Holy Spirit, we love you. Jesus, thank you for knowing better. It's better that you went, so you sent your Spirit here. You're at the right hand of the Father in heaven. I can't wait to run into your arms. I can't wait to see you, but I thank you, God, for your Spirit who is in me, with me, and upon me. I know we might be the only Bible anybody ever reads, so I pray that there be lots of pages in our life that represent your word, your truth, and your fire. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy to be praised. Worthy. The Holy Spirit always points back to Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. And you are worthy to be praised. We love you, God. Go with us. And just like in your word, it says, if you don't go before me, you're... In the Old Testament prophet says, if you don't go before me, then I ain't going. But if you're going, I'm going. I'm going to stay here until you tell me to go. I'm going wherever you go. Here I am, God. Send me. Here I am, God. I'm available. I'm available. We love you.